Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. This week's message is titled All Things New. Thank you to Mike, Ed, Jim, and Don for being part of the video. The scripture reading is Ephesians 1, 3 to 10.
Good morning. Welcome to 2023. I'm going to start the year off right by worshiping God and His Son and the mighty acts that He has done in our lives. It'll be a time of reflection and a time of hopeful, positive change in our own lives and in the world around us. I don't know how you spent your New Year's Eve, but I slept through mine. So I woke up past midnight, so that's been my modus operandi, I guess I call it, for the last couple of years. I just in the recliner and I fall asleep. So anyways, the important announcements, there's the budget. If you have any questions, please see Adam, Amy about that. Prayer request, the grandson of Don and Barb has been in and out of, is currently tentatively home up at McMaster, dealing with some stomach issues, and the specialists up there are trying to get to the root of the issue and help the guy out. And also any prayer, well, lots of prayer will be needed and directed into there in that area, and we can pray. As you all know, that I'm currently and continually going through eye issues, so I haven't really told the church, but I'm waiting for a phone call. I've been slated for more eye surgery. What else is new? That's all I ever get these days, but life's been a bit of a struggle, so just keep that in your mind and prayer, too. It's very frustrating. I know we got certain events going on within the church, the giving knitters, and there's other things going on that we may not even be aware of, but our members are currently serving in the community around us and to others. We are grateful for the ability to serve and to show our love for Christ by serving others. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the blessings of a new year. And putting the year of behind us that might have been one of struggle, disappointment, heartbreak. And Father, there might have been times of joy and mountaintop experiences. And Father, we realize the world goes on with us or without us. And we realize that if we're in it, let's make the most of and do our part in this troubled world to serve you and to make your name known among the nations and among our communities. Father, so blessed to be part of this congregation and to have people that serve. And thank you for Adam and Amy and the serving they do, and our minister, Don, who always brings us a good message, and our elders. And Father, our members, and those, Father, we pray that people think about coming back and being a part of this congregation and just in a way that they're here in the pews. We know they're still part of our congregation, but Father, we want to grow and we want to be joyful in song and heartfelt and good spirit. Continue to be with us in our worship time and help us to go forward, make a positive step forward as we begin to worship you through the service and song in the year 2023. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who made everything possible. It's through his name we pray. Amen.
Well, when we decided to get married on New Year's Eve years ago, some people said, well, it's for tax benefits. But the way Rhonda would tell it, she was in kindergarten and I was in grade two, and I hardly got started on my career at that point. So it really didn't matter. We didn't have any income to really. It was a decision between semesters at university, and that seemed like a good day to be married. It's interesting, over the years, this time of year when we're transitioning from one year to the next, often we make resolutions. It's a time for, you know, turning the page on the calendar, but also turning the page on our lives to some degree. So a very typical one, I know that if I go to the YMCA on the first day that they're open in the new year, it will be packed. And it will be packed for about a month, and then gradually the numbers dwindle off. And that's because people have this surge of energy that they're going to make some huge, colossal changes to their health. And that's a good thing. But sometimes it doesn't last very long. Or we make decisions about other aspects of our lives. Maybe that we're going to read scripture more, that we're going to pray more, and sometimes that doesn't last either. But sometimes we turn the leaf on a year and we say goodbye to a whole bunch of problems. And we live in hopes that maybe the next year there won't be as many. But they have a tendency to crop up. One of the things that we can do when we come to communion is we can think of something higher than ourselves and higher perhaps than our ability to make changes, to the changes that Jesus has made on our behalf. In Isaiah chapter 41, in a long dissertation that God is encouraging Israel, one of the things he says to them is, says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Be assured that I will help you. I will certainly take hold of you with my righteous right hand." Wow. Do not fear. Oftentimes when we try to make changes in our lives, we're held back by fear. But there's not really any place for it. You know, do not fear. I am with you. And Jesus says something similar in Matthew chapter 6. It says, "Therefore, I tell you, stop being worried or anxious about your life, about what you will eat and what you will drink, and nor about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food and body, and the body more than clothing?" And he really, he says, you know, the birds of the air, I look after those birds of the air, and we are so much more important to him than the birds of the air, so don't worry. So maybe as we move into this new year, maybe we can fear less, worry less, and depend on God more, because he has promised that he will be with us and that he will take care of us. Does that mean that we're going to have any problems? It means that we will have some problems, but we can depend on him to guide us through those issues that arise, that we can have confidence that he will be with us. And as we take communion, we can think of how much he has poured out himself by sending Jesus to this world to live amongst us, to demonstrate how we should be living, and to understand that one of the greatest qualities of Jesus is humility. And surely this is the major quality of God, this humble, loving being to his creation, that we can have confidence in him helping us through. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful to you for the many things that you have done for us. for the world that you have created, for the abundance therein, for the beauty therein that we can see your powerful, creative force. We're thankful, Father, that you have sent Jesus to this world to live amongst us, show us what you're like, and to humbly give himself for us that we might be delivered from the eternal consequences of our sin. We pray as we partake of this bread and as of this fruit of the vine that you might help us to be aware of Jesus' broken body and for the shed blood that was shed and broken for us. And we pray, Father, as we enter into a new year, that we will turn to you each day, that we know that your steadfast love is there every day, and that you lift us up every day, and that you walk with us every day. We pray that this might embolden us to be your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our reading this morning is from Ephesians 1, 3 through 10. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship, through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the pleasures of his will, and to praise of his gracious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavishes on us. We all, with all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his great good pleasure, which he proposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their full fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth.
Good morning, everyone. If I seem somewhat discombobulated this morning, it's because I am. our grandson was in the hospital at McMaster for a couple of days, and was a difficult time, but we think things are progressing. He came home last night, and with a feeding tube, things should be looking up. So our doctors are very positive about all of that, and I appreciate those who have been praying for us. I thought it would be appropriate today, because of it being a new year, something that we've talked about many times in the past, but we have this concept, at least many of us have had this concept, that when a person passes from this life, they go to heaven, and that's kind of the way it is. You're kind of there. But the Bible talks about more than that. It talks about a new heaven and a new earth. Listen to what N.T. Wright says. Heaven is wonderful, but it isn't the end of the world. What about life after death? And then he says, we are only a shadow of our future self, that one day God will renew and restore all things. All things will be made new. Now, I didn't say that. Here are the people who said exactly what I just read. Jesus, Peter, Paul, John, and Isaiah. That one day, the new heaven and the new earth come together as one. So I love it when we go back into the Old Testament and they give us this future look. Even before Jesus was born as a babe in the manger, there's this discussion of all things new, all things being created, that one day all people will come together under the Father. So in Isaiah 57, I will restore comfort to all people. Hosea chapter 6, God will restore us that we may live in his presence. Amos chapter 9, I will restore David's fallen shelter. Nahum chapter 2, the Lord will restore the splendor of Jacob, Israel. Zephaniah chapter 2, the Lord their God will turn their lives into restoration. And for all of us, the older we get, we like that. We like to be restored. We want to be renewed. We want to be reclaimed by God if we pulled ourselves away. In John 17, it talks about that all people will come before the Father, just as I am in you and you are in me. So today, I'm just going to not preach. I'm just going to let the Bible preach and just share some of these scriptures that I hope will be unique. Here's a scripture that we don't read very often. It's in the book of Isaiah, and it's in chapter 4. And it's a very unique scripture. It's called the branch. And for many years, I thought, the branch? What does that mean, the branch? And maybe you've seen of some large congregations in this world now, large churches that are called the branch. But the branch was symbolism for the beauty of the Lord. Let me read it to you. Chapter 4 of Isaiah. In that day, the branch of the Lord, which is messianic, will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be pride and glory of the survivors of Israel. Those who left in Zion, remain in Jerusalem, will be called holy, and all will be recorded among them in Jerusalem. The Lord will wash away the filth of the women of Zion. He will cleanse their bloodstains. It's this idea of that one day, and just think of this, there'll be no more pain, no more confusion, no more difficulty, no more worry, that one day all things will be restored. A return, if you will, to Eden. A heaven on earth coming together, the marriage, if you will, of heaven and earth. For many of us, it's been so difficult to grasp. I talk about myself, because ever since I was a boy, it was the concept of, well, when you die, you just kind of go to heaven. Well, what do you do there? I don't know. What's that going to be like? Well, I don't know. But the Bible makes it clear, gives us a picture, gives us multiple pictures of a new heaven and a new earth, where heaven and earth come together as one. The first time I heard that, I went, I don't know about that. But the more I read it, the more that's exactly what the Bible talks about. The coming together of heaven and earth as one. A united group of people coming together as one because of Jesus. And so the Old Testament gives us kind of an understanding of what's going to happen in the future. And one of the things that we have to be is willing. Being willing to be God's servant. Here's a scripture that you all know very, very well from Isaiah chapter 6. And listen to these words. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, at the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs on the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, this has touched your lips. Your guilt has been taken away and your sin is atoned for. And our sin is atoned for in Christ Jesus. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go? And I said, here I am, send me. And I hope that for all of us, on occasions, God has sent us to be a messenger, to be a help, to be an encourager, to understand that one of these days, all of us will pass from this life, but that's not the end. That one day, a restoration will be taking place, even in our lives. So there's so many great scriptures that we can be looking at. In chapter 9 in Isaiah, one that we often use at Christmas time, which also connects with what we're saying today, is this. In chapter 9, it says in verse 2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And then in chapter 7 and 14, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government is on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So here's Isaiah saying all of this. Israel is listening to it, but it happens some 800 years later. I wonder how long we have to wait. For many of us, our loved ones have already gone. But where have they gone? I know for many of us, our loved ones are right here. And they've never left us. And they never will. And the promise of God is that we will be together again. That God will restore heaven and earth, and that heaven and earth will come together as one. And so in chapter 11, it talks about this. It's called the branch. There are churches that are actually called the branch, and that's a good word. It's this beautiful description of the coming together as one, heaven and earth as one. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from the roots, a branch will bear fruit. And when you hear that word branch, it's that concept of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And some of the prophets talk about the future. Let me share with the scripture, one of my favorite scriptures, Jeremiah 31. Just listen to these words. No longer will they teach their neighbors or say to one another, you need to know the Lord, because they will all know the Lord, from the least of him to the greatest of him. And the coming together of one is apocalyptic and symbolic. Listen to how Isaiah puts this. Just picture it in your mind, if you will. The wolf will live with the lamb. Did I read that right? Yeah. Oh, because I thought it would say the wolf will eat the lamb. And that's not what it says. There won't be any more enemies. Picture this. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion, the yearling together, and the little child will lead them. Can you picture that? A child, maybe just pulling along this leopard, this monstrous animal, but no, there's no fear. Infants will play near the hole of a cobra. Young children will put their hands into the viper's nest. Yet they will neither harm or destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And may I say, I cannot wait for that day, that one day the entire earth, not talking about heaven, the entire earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. No one will need to say, know the Lord, because they will all know the Lord. We come together every week reminding ourselves of God's love, of God himself, the Lord, of Jesus Christ, of the Holy Spirit, of great saints who have gone past who still live in us, and how all of us are part of it, even to this day. For the longest time, I believe there was a division between the old and the new. And in many cases, there is. But in reality, it's God in both, in all of us, the teaching from the old and the new bringing to us. One of the great reasons we have a Bible is for us to understand who God is and the promises he's made for all of us. And so here's a future look. In Isaiah chapter 19, it's an interesting passage of scripture. In chapter 19, beginning in verse 23, listen to this. In that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. The Assyrians will go to Egypt and the Egyptians to Assyria. The Egyptians and the Assyrians will worship together. In that day, Israel will be the third, along with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing on the earth, a blessing on the earth. The Lord Almighty will bless them, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, Assyria, my handiwork, and Israel, my inheritance. That may not mean much to us, except they were sworn enemies, but no longer. They will come together as one. God's invitation. God so loved the world. The world. People, animals, the world. God's creation will be renewed and restored. It's interesting how these scriptures have talked about this, because I just think it's so interesting where you have the Assyrians and the Egyptians who are sworn enemies of one another, all coming together as one and sharing with one another. One more scripture, Isaiah chapter 25. Again, if you have this picture in your mind, the coming together as one. In chapter 25, I'm going to start reading in verse 6, a glimpse, not of the very end, but the beginning again. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples. So many people starving in this world. One day there will be no more starvation. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples. A banquet of aged wine, the best meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that unfolds all peoples. People will, their thinking will be changed. He will swallow up death forever. No more death. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from the earth. As was said many, many times in scripture, I will create a new heaven and a new earth. Revelation 21:5, I am making all things new. Here's what Jesus calls it, the renewal of all things, Matthew 19:28. Peter calls it the restoration of all things, Acts 3:21. Paul calls it the redemption and liberation of all things, Romans 8, 11 and verse 23. And again, Paul calls it the reconciliation, the coming together as one. And so through all of that, and even in the Christmas season and the new year, it's the coming together as one, as comfort. And relax. Religion can be confusing, can be frustrating, can be difficult. But to put all that aside, picture yourself standing with your loved ones, standing beside Jesus, standing with God, being introduced to Paul the Apostle or John, whoever one of your great prophets were in Scripture. And it's comfort, the comfort that will come. Here's what is said in Isaiah 40. Comfort. Comfort my people, says the Lord. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. There's a voice, one calling in the wilderness, the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert, a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it. The glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it. That's something that we can look forward to. I said, you are my servant in Isaiah 41. You are my servant. I have chosen you, and I have not rejected you. So don't fear. I'm with you. Don't be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. Did God ever make a promise and then forget about it? No. His promises are true. He says, for I am your God who takes you by the hand and says this, do not be afraid. I am helping you. And so many scriptures that are helpful. Chapter 42, beginning in verse 1 of Isaiah. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. Some 800 years before Jesus was born, he's talking about Christ here. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him. He will bring justice to the nations, and he will bring justice to the nations and will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break. Smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. Till he establishes, listen, justice on all the earth. His teaching in all the earth. And then he says, some 800 years before the birth of Christ, now he says this, see, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. New heaven and a new earth. So I just look at Isaiah and I look at some of these great scriptures all throughout the Bible. I'm going to skip on now and take a look at a couple of scriptures dealing with this, even in the New Testament. And I'm just going to look at this last one that we all know very, very well. There's things that are said in Acts, things that are said in Matthew, and a variety of other scriptures that we've looked at. But I'll just conclude with this, because it's one of the great pictures that we can have in mind, that one day heaven and earth will come together as one, and we will be part of it, but it pictures all things new. See, I will create a new heaven and a new earth. Here it comes. Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, catch this now, coming down out of heaven from God. Not going up, not us going up, coming down. The New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And then I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, watch this now, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Can't you just wait for the day when you see face to face, not just God, or Jesus, and the Spirit, but your loved ones, whether it be a mother or father, wife, husband, child, those babies that were born but didn't last very long. Oh, they're there. And you're going to see them. We're going to see them one day. All things new. It is repeated some 600 to 800 years before Jesus was born. It was repeated over and over and over again. I will not lose one. I will not lose one. That we all belong to him. And so this wonderful, wonderful statement. They will be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, for the old order of things passed away. And one of the last things that's said in the Bible is this, a promise of God. I am making all things new. May this year, this new year, be a year of newness, of a restoration, a recreation of our purpose of loving Jesus, loving one another, and doing our very best to help the world be a better place. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time of worship, the message of making all things new. Father, help us to personally renew our commitment to you, renew our faith, our strength, renew our hope. Give us the strength to face the battles that we each have to face in our daily lives. Father, please continue to be with the grandson of Don and Barb. Be with those that are struggling with their own health and those who have lost loved ones recently. And help us to realize that your will carry on. And Father, as long as we're here on this earth, make us part of your hands and feet and mouth, and let us carry forth your will as we move on through this new year. Help us to bind together the congregation and to love each other even more and to show forth to the community around us. Go with us now as we go our separate ways. We love you. We love your Son. We love the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked NIV taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. Scripture quotations marked AMP taken from the Amplified Bible, copyright 2015 by the Lockman Foundation. Used by permission, www.lockman.org. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.